Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Aisling Keenan, and this is Private Education. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Private Education. I'm Aisling Keenan. Andrea is over there.
Hello, guys.
Hello, guys. And I'm doing a bit of... I have a bit of a cold, so my voice is a little deeper and a bit huskier than normal. I hope that's okay.
Sexy voice. Sexy, deep, dulcet tones.
I don't know if it's sexy at all. It's more snotty than sexy is what I'm going to say. But thankfully, the bulk of this episode today will be made up of an interview that I did with content creator Emer Varian Barry. She is a Cork native and she currently lives in the UK. She is a mother of three. She's a content creator. She does, you know, beautiful images. She does campaigns for different brands. And she is co-parenting her three children with their dad. And like, she's kind of like, you know her a bit, Andre. Like, she's kind of well known is the wrong thing to say, but she's very, very honest and very
she's herself,
and she's very open on her Instagram. Like, a lot of people are quite closed off, a lot of like influencers and content creators can be quite private, but she's very open with her life and her personal life. Now, as she would say herself, and I think as she does actually mention at some point in the interview, what we see is probably 10% of what actually happens in her life, you know, and I think that goes without saying. But she is nonetheless very open about everything. And there's, you know, she's had kind of a bit of a tumultuous time with the dad of her children, and they have been kind of on again and off again. And recently enough, relatively recently, she decided that they were kind of off again and it was going to be a permanent thing, you know, I suppose for the sake of her children and for her own sake and just for, you know, to kind of move things on. And they're in a very, very healthy co-parenting setup now, which is really great. But I wanted to talk to her basically about kind of her learnings, I suppose, as she moved through that period in her life, which we did. So we have that chat. I'm going to let you hear that in a few minutes. Before we start, though, because I really want to talk about cleaning your vagina, because I saw it's very important, and I saw something on Twitter recently that really worried me. So, but before we get into that, Andrea and I are looking to talk to someone who has attended a sex party. That is what we're after, isn't it, Andrea?
It is. If that is you, or you know somebody, we need you or them.
We need, because, you know, along the lines of like the killing kittens parties, those kind of things. Now, it doesn't have to be that glamorous or that kind of high level, I guess, any kind of sex party. I tweeted it out a while ago and I got like very few responses and no like strong leads. So I'm putting it out to you guys, listeners, if you yourself have been to a sex party, or if you know of anyone that has been to a sex party and would be willing to talk to us, that's kind of key. We'd love to chat to you. So get in touch, privateeducationpod@gmail.com, or on Instagram @privateeducationpodcast, or indeed to my Instagram, which is @AislingMKeenan, or to Andrea's Instagram, which is
Andrea J. Doyle.
Yeah. I got that right, didn't I, Dre?
Nailed it.
So just before we get into Emer's chat, I need to talk about, like I said, vaginal cleaning. And on a kind of as a jump off point, I got an email recently. You know the way I tend to get random sex info into my inbox, Andrea, because you know, when you're into podcasts, that's what
other people get, like, you know, this is the new H&M line, or here's this hair serum. Meanwhile,
the most recent one I got, and it was actually surprisingly interesting. It was the subject line was the post sex routine you should follow according to sex experts. That's a mouthful. Don't try to say that many times fast. So basically, lovehoney.com, they're a sex toy website. They have commissioned some research about what to do after sex. And their doctor, her name is Megan Fleming. She's a certified sex and relationship psychologist that works with Love Honey. And she basically went through some post-sex, I suppose, post-sex routines that you should follow if possible after you have sex. The first one was, and I actually really agree with this one, I don't know how you feel, Dre. The first one she says is talk about the sex. So like, after you finish having sex, you're already in a very vulnerable position for both people, for both parties. So she advises to like have a bit of a debrief about what just happened, and I think that's a really good place to start if you want to give any gentle criticism, or if you want to do you know what I mean, what do you think?
I agree, and I think it's really good, because the longer you leave it post like the interaction, the less likely you are to bring it up. Whereas there's no better time than literally an immediate debrief, being like, how was that for you? And then being like, that was really good. How was that for you? And you've been like, look, you could shit sandwich it. And that's not a sexual innuendo. I mean, you could say this was really good. This is where I might like things to have been different, or I didn't really like this. But then that was really good as well. You know what I mean? But I think whatever way you approach your debrief immediately after is a good place to start.
Yeah, like, I don't think you should sit down with a notepad and be like, okay, we're going to go through some feedback. From minute 3.5 to minute 4, you were doing really well. No, imagine.
Nailed it.
Do you know what it said, though? So one of her comments, one of Dr. Megan's comments was that a strategy that she suggests to bring up some criticism disguised as constructive criticism, mm-hmm. or to bring like a new move you want to try or whatever, is to say, so she basically says, a strategy to bring up something new you'd be interested in trying is to say, I found this idea in a magazine like Cosmo or Men's Health, or on a podcast that you listen to. And you can say, oh wow, I listened to this and it got me really excited about trying blah blah blah, and here is your license, people. So here is the podcast. Say, if you need a segue into some sexual suggestions, tell people, tell your partner that you heard it in private education.
We will take that for the team, guys. Come on, get in on it. 100% references.
Because it just means, like, the idea, you know, or what, or the suggestion or whatever came from a source outside of yourself. And that's an easier way, I think, to inquire about a partner's interest. What do you think?
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good idea. I think that's fantastic. Or even if it's like trying to bring up something that maybe didn't go the way you wanted it to, or maybe, like you're saying, try something different, to be like, oh, what do you think about this? You know, and kind of feel it out that way. Like, I heard this on this podcast, and I wonder what's your idea of this, or what's your view on that? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Or even like, I mean, I know people have sent full episodes of private education to their partners and been like, oh, they found this really interesting, have a listen to that there. And you know,
to minute 10 to minute 23, get in there. Yeah,
not to be too prescriptive about it, but the next one was, right, so the next one was, and I am an advocate of this, peeing after sex.
Yes,
it's essential.
It's one of those things that I think it's either do this or buy cranberry juice. You have two options, A or B.
I think just to interject with some medical knowledge, I think the cranberry juice thing is a myth.
However, it is. I'm only messing, but like you're literally lining yourself up for problems if you don't.
You're basically inviting a UTI into your life. A UTI into your vag. You're saying, come on in, guys. A UTI for anyone who isn't familiar. And actually, if you're not familiar, I envy you because I have had UTIs in the past, my friends. A UTI is a urinary tract infection, and it basically, I mean, there's a couple of different reasons you can get them, but the main reason is bacteria that hangs around basically after sex. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, and what Dr. Megan advises is that by urinating directly after you have sex, any kind of lingering bacteria is flushed out of your body, and it minimizes the risk of you contracting a UTI. So a UTI, basically, if you haven't had one, I don't know about you, Dre, but the symptoms for me have been basically, so you, sorry if this is too much information. I don't think it is, though. We've passed the point of TMI here.
That was a long time ago.
I think we have. But one of the main, because like, you know, if you have a kidney infection, peeing can be painful, or, you know, you might have a pain in your lower back. But with a UTI, what I found is you're peeing away, and then just as you come to the end of the pee, you get a shooting pain right in your pee hole. Sorry, I shouldn't have said pee hole, but that's what happens to me. What, have you had a UTI, Dre?
No, I've actually escaped it. I've had many, many kidney infections.
Right.
And I know some of the symptoms are the same, but I haven't experienced that sharp, like, stab that people speak about.
It's basically like you, and I'm referencing people with vaginas here as an aside, because I don't know what a UTI feels like to a person with a penis.
Same.
But like, it basically feels like, so you're peeing away, and then at the end, it feels like someone has got a fish hook into your vagina, into your pee hole, I should say, and then just pulls on it. It's not pleasant. Not pleasant at all. So what I would say is, as soon as you're done having the ride and everything is finished and you're winding down for the afternoon, evening, whenever, go into the bathroom, pee, and wipe. And when you wipe, guys, wipe front to back. That's the golden rule.
I mean, I think we should have started, that might have been the place to start. Maybe it's wipe front to back, pee after sex, start from the absolute beginning. Anyone that's doing it otherwise.
But like a lot of people don't know the wipe front to back thing.
What?
Yeah.
Is that not just...
A lot of people wipe back to front. Like obviously when you've done a number one and a number two, it's different. But when you've just done a number one, a lot of people go back, like go from, you know, bum hole direction to wee hole direction, and that is incorrect, guys. So like front to back is the way to wipe. And then, so Dr. Megan's next advice, and this is where the vagina cleaning issue raises its head. She says to freshen up the area, but what she said, and because when I read this, I was worried because I was like, Dr. Megan, what are you going to suggest here?
Yeah.
But thankfully, all she says is, although the last thing you want to do, following a night of passionate sex, using clean, fresh water to clean up can prevent irritation, especially if you have sensitive skin or the combination of rubbing or lube and sweat or whatever, because it can upset the pH balance. And like, you don't have to hop into the shower like immediately and, you know, have a bit of a rinse down, maybe. Never hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And she does go in and say, warm water is great, but important to know the vagina is self-cleaning. And that is key. Do not push shower gel down there.
Do not
douche. And if you don't know what douching is,
Google it.
Yeah. Don't do it, but Google it if you need more info. The vagina is completely self-cleaning, and in terms of like smell, I always think it's good to know, like, okay, this is going to sound mad, but I think, Dre, you'll know what I mean. You know the way you know the smell of your own passing of wind? I don't want to say the real word there.
Yeah.
You know what your own is. And, yeah. And it doesn't completely disgust you in the same way that someone else is. Someone else does.
Yeah.
Right. So your vagina will have a smell, but to you, it will be familiar and hopefully not, you know.
Jarring.
Yes, not jarring, exactly. And if, for whatever reason, there's a bit of an odd smell or a bit more of a pungent smell, check, you know, go to your doctor and get it checked. But in general, it is okay for your vagina to smell slightly, because that is, as they say, the good bacteria working away and keeping everything nice and clean down there. So you know your smell, know your own smell. And if it changes, get it looked at. But, you know, it's okay once it's not pungent or odd, or if it changes. Mm-hmm. That's something to note about the vagina. So it is self-cleaning, thankfully. And don't put anything down there, even shower gels. Like, I mean, if a bit gets in there while you're in the shower, totally fine. But I wouldn't be, you know, shoving a load of Sanex up there, because it doesn't need it.
No, basically. Like, you do not need the branded products that are aimed literally at that area. They're not your friend.
No, things like Femfresh and stuff. Absolutely, like, not. Unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary. And in actual fact, there are some vaginas that can't even tolerate some feminine hygiene products, like some sanitary towels. There are some people have vaginas that don't tolerate those products, and
oh yeah,
and, you know, they need ones, might I, specially formulated for like sensitive skins, or they need like organic ones or whatever like that. So it is a very sensitive area, so it's worth looking after. But all you really need to do is look after it with a bit of water every now and again. So then the last one, and this is something that could easily be forgotten, actually, once sex is wrapped up. If you've been using, and this is actually solo sex or sex in a couple or with multiple people, if you've been using sex toys, always remember to clean them, because, of course, bacteria can get on them. And if you want to reuse them again at a later time, it's better to have cleaned them, you know, directly after use than, you know, before you want to use it the next time.
Mm-hmm.
When the mood takes you, you're hardly going to be like, hang on there, guys, I'm just going in to like rinse off my dildo.
And the other thing that's important is I'm pretty sure they need to be dried as well. So like, yes, right before the event is probably not the best time to be letting them wash and then try and air dry them. So
that's exactly right. And it is really important that you have to let them fully dry before you put them away. And there's all sorts of, you know, wipes and things that you can use on sex toys. I wouldn't recommend any of those myself. I would just say like an organic, all natural soap of some kind. And failing that, just a really, really good wash with water or hot, warm water. And then obviously follow any kind of specific sex toy instructions for the ones that you're using, because not all of them can be submerged in water. So yeah, that's the little post-sex routine that you should follow. And oh, actually, there was one more thing that I forgot to say that I was thinking about the other day. Don't ask me why I was thinking about this. Somebody was talking about how they thought they lost a tampon up their vag hole. Yeah. Now, I want to just tell everyone listening, anyone that has a vagina, I promise you, you cannot get anything lost up there. However, like, nothing, it's like, it's a cul-de-sac, basically. You can't, nothing can and like, it literally, apart from sperm, nothing can get in.
Oh, goodness.
Nothing can get in past your cervix. I know. Sorry, it wasn't a great analogy for a vagina. But anyway, yeah, if you suspect that you've got a tampon stuck up there, which, listen, it happens to the best of us. Strings get lost, strings come off, tampons are small, they might like nestle up there and you might not be able to get it out with your fingers. I would advise going to the doctor in that instance, because you want to make sure that you get it all out. So if a tampon has been in there a couple of days and you haven't been able to access it, the fibers might start to break down, and if you get up there and fiddle around and find it, yeah, you might have left a little bit of it behind. So it's important to go to a medical professional in that instance and get everything cleared out, because you don't, look, the last thing you want is a vaginal infection. Am I right?
Goodness, no, you want that. Yeah, that's actually solid advice. And I wouldn't believe in it days, you know, either. Do you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you suspect, I guess the thing is, if you suspect you've one up there, but you're not sure because you can't see, and then maybe you think, oh no, that's impossible. And then a couple of days later, you're like, oh, that smells weird. Maybe I did leave something up there.
Fair point. Go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because do you know what I mean? You might not always know. Maybe you were absolutely hammered and you weren't sure if you put a tampon in, or, you know, who knows? Mm. Anyway. So with all that said, to move on to a completely different topic, we're going to go into my interview with Emer now. My voice was totally fine on this day. So I will sound different. I'll sound better probably. And I just wanted to, thank Emer for chatting to me so honestly. She's just like really, really forthcoming. And we kind of, like, I had questions there to ask her and we kind of just rambled. And to be honest, I just kind of let her talk because, you know, she, again, that's her style. She is just a really open, forthcoming, you know, honest person. And I let her take the conversation where she wanted to go with it. Again, because it was so personal to her what we were talking about, I wanted to make sure she was comfortable. So I just kind of opened up the you know, interview doors, so to speak, and let her work away. So yeah, Dre and I will be back for a brief debrief after this interview.
Yeah, so I met an amazing man in Australia when I was traveling. I moved to New York on my own. I moved to Australia on my own. I was very independent, up for adventure on my own, just like discovering, and like I'm just curious, and that's how I observe life, that's how I do what I do, because again, you kind of just like have to be on your own a lot. Mm-hmm. And dependent on yourself. But I heard the English accent in this hostel, and we, like I've said this a million times, like we did fall in love in over a jug of beer, and it was amazing. And yeah, he's an amazing man, incredible father, but it just didn't work out. Like we both went, but you know what's weird? Like, again, I say that in one sentence, like it just didn't work out. Like I'm fobbing it off. Like what? Like how can you go through all this shit and then be like, oh yeah, it's just like didn't work out. Like it's not this like 15-year-old relationship. But it didn't work out, if you know what I mean. Like it's when you're a backpacker and you fall in love with someone, and then like I moved back here with him and it was all just like so amazing, and it still is, like, oh my gosh, like we're such a good relationship. Obviously we still kill each other, but like, you know, it's just we can't actually be in a relationship together.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it was incredible. And we dreamed, oh my God, we dreamed of having, I was so ready to have a baby. Like, I'm so blessed that like I was able to get pregnant, and I was actually, yeah, that I've had these three babies with him. Like, I lost a baby in between, and that was huge for us. Like it's just like, oh, that's like something that happens to somebody else, if you know what I mean. So yeah, that's what happened to us. Yeah, we had like three kids, and yeah, it was always like on and off. And I think it's because like my life was going in a different direction, and we're just really different people. Like, I did make excuses for it for ages, because again, like, I'm just that kind of person who's like, oh, fuck it, like, put up with it. Like, people have it worse. Put up with stuff. You know, it's like, stop complaining. And yeah, just get, everyone has their problems. No relationship is without like having to go through shit and put up with shit. And but it comes to a point where you're like, how much shit do I have to put up with on both sides? Do you know what I mean? It's not just me. It's like, when you're like, how much like clashing do we need to go through? Like, this isn't like, we're not even fucking like, we need to like draw a line somewhere here. And I think that's really important. So yeah, and we separated properly. Like, we were on and off, like for months at a time. Like, yeah. And then, yeah, we just love her. Like, we just loved the, we both come from, you know, very united families. And it was such a huge thing for us to like separate for good, because it was always a case of, we have to do this. We have to do this for the children. We have to.
Do you think that's why, like, you were saying that you were on and off with your ex for like, you know, months at a time? And I definitely got that impression from your Instagram. There was times where, you know, he was visibly there, and then there was times when he visibly wasn't. And like, do you think,
like, yeah, that sounds like he was just walking out. That wasn't, that was not the case. That was like conversations about like what's healthy in your everyday life environment. And like, we realized that, like, you know, we fucking tried it, okay? It wasn't just this like all of a sudden one day we're breaking up. You cannot say that we did not constantly try. And that's what kind of like, you know, comforts me a bit when it comes to us. It's like, and that's not, everyone knows that, like, and everyone's going to think like, and you know this when they're listening to it, it's like, well, that's not healthy for kids. I know. Like, we knew that. It's not like we were like just thinking about ourselves, but like, you have to try, and you have to, like, you know, there's a reason why we kept coming back to each other. We had this intense love. How can you still be really in love with someone but just like not be able to like work with them in a relationship? So yeah, I just think like
No, I was just gonna ask, do you think, you were saying there that you both come from very like united families, do you think that that is why you were so determined to keep trying at it, because you wanted so desperately to have that united family for your children?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, does that really, like, I definitely need to talk to a psychologist about all of this. Like, does that make a difference? I don't know. Like, and maybe I'm just trying to, like, look, there was a lot of love there, and that's the most important thing. There still is.
Was there a particular, you said that just there that, you know, you kind of, although it was a mutual thing and you both knew it, you were the one that actually pulled the plug in a sense. Was there, did you, for you, what was it in you that made that decision, like, you know, that you that forced you to that decision? You know, what was it in you that was like, I can't continue with this, stop start? What was it that made you actually make that well, call?
Just not being able to continue with the clashing about like a lot of things. And you know, for me, it's really a case of like, you know, I was getting all these opportunities. I wanted to do it all, and that, like, why not, you know? And how could I say no to these opportunities? Like, Daniel and I were on benefits when we first had Saoirse.
Well, do you feel like it was work and the lifestyle that your work led you into that kind of was the final thing for your relationship?
No, I definitely wouldn't say that, like, my work was the definite thing, like, that ended our relationship. It was more personality clash and how you see the world differently a few years into a relationship. Like, it's really hard to, like, pinpoint what happens to people when they just go on different paths mentally, you know?
You were saying just before we started that you, and this is what I'm kind of really interested in, because I do feel like there has been a change somewhere along the way for you, or many changes, I would imagine. But you were saying that you've kind of, how you are in relationships, you've been doing a lot of work on and kind of looking at yourself and how you exist in relationships. So if you want to just chat about kind of in the past, typically how you would have existed in relationships, purely in terms of you and your personality, and then maybe we can then later talk about how you have grown out of that and how you have, like, developed and where you kind of are now and where you might be going forward into any future relationship that you might be in. So just in the past, what typically would have been your modus operandi, say, in relationships?
Like, as you can tell, like, as you can, like, you know, like, you've been following me for years, it's like, I have a strong mind and I am determined, and I say, like, what I want to say, I do whatever I want to do. That's not like I do whatever I want to do as in, like, I sleep with whoever I want to, like, if I'm out, like, if I want to do something. It's not like that. It's like I'm independent, like, if I want to do something.
When you say, you know, that kind of you wanted an alternative, was that a huge issue in your relationship? Like, did marriage come up and was
no,
that
no. we were both on the same page about that. Like, we just didn't have any interest in it at all. And I know that's different for everyone, like, and like, obviously there's just people in all different situations that are listening to this, and but yeah, that was my situation.
And so what now, kind of now that you've gone through, you've come to the decision that the relationship side of things is finished and you're happily co-parenting, what is it now that you are, what lessons are you bringing forward about yourself, not necessarily into relationships, but what lessons are you bringing forward about yourself from that kind of experience?
Like, I definitely feel wiser, and I'm, again, like, I'm the kind of person who's, like, actually grateful for going through shit and, like, having knowledge and changing my reactions, changing my views, having different perspectives after I go through really hard times. Like, so, like, think about it, right? Like, you're going through all that shit and then you're looking for external validation, so you put it on Instagram. That attracts extreme negativity and extreme trolling. Like, what was I doing?
As much as you might seem to be very open on Instagram and very forthcoming with how you feel and forthcoming with that sort of thing, like, do you consider yourself truly vulnerable on Instagram, or is that something, is that side of you something only that small circle ever really sees?
Yeah, do you know, like, I was thinking about this actually, like, again, when I was, like, writing these stories this morning, I was like, you know, when people call me really honest on Instagram, I'm like, that's only that's a compliment, and I want you to feel comfortable that, like, you can come here and it's, you're gonna, like, you're gonna get that. But there, that's only, like, a fraction of how honest I am in real life. Like, I can't be sharing everything. Like, I can't be honest about everything. Like, it's just, you can't be, like, you're just, you know, that's not, like, controlling your narrative as well. And I feel like that's really important for me online now. Like, are you going to create something here, Emer, that you know will trigger people? Or can you know, be a bit honest about something, show your personality now and again, and you know, just the right amount.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that people think they know you, but they like you, they don't really know you? Yeah,
I find that so interesting. And I feel like we're only like waking up to that now. But it's natural, isn't it? Like, I'm the exact same. Like, I look at, somebody could post like twice a month and I think that I fucking know them. That's crazy. But it's, again, like, actually, that is like so, that's so wrong of me to think that.
So now, in terms of your kind of you in relationships going forward, I mean, I don't know where you are in terms of getting into another relationship, but how do you think you like
Ashling? I'm joking.
What things will you be bringing into any new relationship you would get in?
This is my time. Like, this is my time to learn. This is my time to realize that, like, you know, how can I do things better? How can I just feel like even saying that, though, is like, nothing went, like, nobody, when we separated, like, nobody did anything where it's like, well, that has to end. Nobody had an affair. Nobody had, it's just our personalities became different. So when I talk about, like, what can I do better, it's not anything, like, extreme. It's just, like, maybe say I can be more vulnerable.
To ask you one more question just before we finish up, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, you seem, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when I am talking to you here, when I'm talking to you on DMs or whatever I'm chatting to you, you seem very together. You seem to be someone who knows who they are. You seem to be very self-aware. You seem to be very kind of composed. Is
what?
Yeah, is that real you?
Sorry, thanks. That's a compliment, but that's just, wow, I can't, like, composed. I'm not composed. What would you define as composed?
Well, I mean, you're holding yourself together really well. You know, you're comfortable being honest. You're comfortable talking about your relationship. I don't want to say weakness. Weakness is not the word, but I don't. You seem very strong to me. You seem like a really strong person. Is that how you feel?
It's actually so crazy how, and that's thank you so much for like saying that. Like, I really genuinely mean that. No, I feel like when I do have my really, really weak moments, like when my forehead is up against the fridge and I'm fucking bawling my eyes out because I'm looking at the shit in the garden, looking at all the washing. I've got emails, you know, that I have to like get back to, or I'll lose out on that job. I don't know. I feel like, you know, with my depression and everything, like, that's another podcast, but I do feel like people are going through a lot of shit. Everybody has their shit in their life, no matter what. Everyone has different situations, and you have to be so mindful of that, especially when you're online. You have to be respectful of that. I think when you're talking about being self-aware, that is like the most important thing for me. I thought I was perfect for years. I'm like, I'm fucking amazing. Like, I'm so sad. I'm like doing this, I'm doing that. Like, God, I actually feel so liberated facing my flaws right now, but also not being too hard on myself. Like, dealing with them and moving on from them and learning from them and like implementing what I've learned in my in different reactions, like just. And that's why I just love Ashling. Like, that's why I just love being in my 30s.
Like, I mean, I can't even imagine where one would begin, you know, to start dating again with, I mean, you've got a more than a full-time job. You've got 3 children. You've got, you know, you're co-parenting. You've got so much going on. Mm-hmm. Like, you said that, like, if I had asked you this time last year, you would have been no. Like, is that something that you are open to currently?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like it's totally, it's just so different these days. Like, People are like, go on the apps, like, go on Hinge, like, go on Tinder, like, all this shit. And I'm like, yeah, I've tried it. And it's just not me, Aisling. Like, I just can't do it. I'm the kind of person that's like, I need to feel your energy. I need to, like, have the crack with you and suss you out and, yeah, just meet you in person naturally. Like, I feel like I've said this, like, to my friends and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm just, like, old school. I want to meet somebody, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not old school. That's how, like, you just are, like, how you want to, like, how it's natural to meet somebody. For me, and it's, you know, because I love humans and energy and, like, intuition and, yeah, so that's just not for me. So, but then at the end of the day, like, that means what? Like, you have to, like, where do you meet people? Like, you have to, like, go in the piss. And I don't want to go in the piss and meet people. I said to my friends, I was like, fuck it, like, we'll just go out. And I'm just like, I can't have, like, two drinks either. Like, when I go out, like, I have 5 pints, that's it. That's what I do. That's what I drink. Anything, I will not have anything over. And I'm like, okay, so, like, I can't just have one. I'll have to go with the 5. And then, no, like, I want to meet someone, like, sober or, like, you know what I mean? And that's just, maybe that's a manifestation thing. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm like, maybe we can just go out and just, like, I'll drink sparkling water. And also, you know, what's really, really upsetting for me, actually, is that we're so stuck in our phones that nobody talks to each other anymore. So how the fuck are you supposed to meet somebody in real life? Like, I remember, like, I was in a cafe a few months ago. I'm not, like, talking to everyone. But, like, you know, if I see the opportunity, as my sister says, like, if you get a sniff of the crack, like, if there's a 50% chance that you can have the crack with someone, go in with it. And yeah, there was this guy next to me, and he's already looking, like, whatever. It's just like, it wasn't like that. Like, it was just more like he was having, like, a ginger shot and a coffee together. And I was like, do you know, we were both on our phones, and I was like, I really want to, like, say something to him. Oh my god, do I felt like a bit of anxiety about it. And I know, like, obviously, like, loads of people listening to this, like, I would, yeah, I fucking wouldn't talk to him at all. But, like, that's me. Like, I'm a communicator. I love people. Like, I've always, like, talked to people. But I did, like, feel that for the first time, you know, like, we're both on our phones, and I was just like, oh my god, this is why. And I was like, fuck it, like, I'll just talk to him. I was like, oh, how's that ginger shot in the coffee? Like, how does that work in the stomach? Like, do they blend well together? And we just, like, I couldn't understand it. I was just like, yuck. And he was like, I love it. And we just ended up having the most incredible, again, it wasn't anything romantic, but it was just like, he was so interesting. He had this company, it was kind of like a WeWork company. And he was just like, so sound. He was telling me all about his girlfriend. And I was like, so happy that we were able to, like, have that time, and it developed into this, like, really interesting, lovely conversation. And I was thinking to myself, do you know what? That's what I want. Like, that's how I want to meet someone. So, yeah. I mean, it could happen next week. That's the thing. Like, you just never know. Like, your life could literally change in, like, an hour. You could be in Tesco in the queue and, like, having a crack with someone, or, like, talking to someone. That's it.
And would you in general be a big believer in that kind of, you know, what's for you won't pass you? Like, yeah.
That's what it's all about. You have to. I've enough proof in my life. I always say this, like, I've enough proof in my life that things are supposed to align at the right times. That's it. Like, I'm the kind of person who, like, jump into opportunities, who just, like, say yes to everything. I am a bit more cautious these days, but it's in, like, you know, I've taken enough chances in my life, and, like, I've gambled, and, like, it's paid off, you know? So, yeah, like, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that might be a nice place to actually wrap up. So, Emer, I really appreciate you coming on to Private Education. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Thank you for having me, seriously.
We'll talk again soon.
Yes.
I absolutely loved that chat. I loved when Emer spoke about going up to the guy in the coffee shop and, like, you know, chatting to him. And even though he was attached, it was just like, good woman yourself, you're doing it, you know?
Yeah, she took the chance. She went up. Like, yeah. I thought that was really brave. I would be so terrified to do that.
Petrified.
And, like, the thing, she was totally right in what she said as well about, like, everyone being stuck in their phones and, like, conversations don't start as organically anymore, because, you know, if you're sitting on a train or a bus or in a coffee shop, you might have gotten chatting to somebody. Like, if you were looking to you know, find love, yeah, or exactly, you might, you know, you might get chatting to someone if you weren't constantly heading the phone, which, let's be honest, most of us are when we're out in public by ourselves.
100%. It's kind of like a default. You're just like, you just, your neck is just creaked down. Do you know that kind of way? You're missing,
you're potential. Like, everything's passing by. But it's like a, I guess we use our phones as like social crutches now, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, if you're on your own and you don't have your phone, you kind of feel a little bit exposed.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, it was a really interesting interview, and it was good to hear from her how she is at the moment. She, like, I mean, I was asking her about kind of the change that she's gone through from when she was, you know, in a relationship and parenting her three children kind of that way when they were still together. And then, you know, now that they've decided that they're not going to be together, how life is now and how she is now in terms of, you know, her growth, I want to say, as a person.
Yeah.
But yeah, so with that, I suppose, Dre, we will wrap up. And thanks again to everyone, as usual, for any reviews or shares or likes or all those kind of things. And if you ever want to do them, we would be much obliged.
We would. And if you're going in there and you're planning on doing a review or giving an L rating, 5 stars, you know, it's not too much to ask. And if you're going to do it anyway, lads, we really appreciate it.
You're always on the hunt for 5 stars. I love it. I love it.
Shoot for the stars. Shoot, you fall, you land in the moon. Or backwards.
You love mixing up your metaphors. Like that time my sister said, it came to me like a fish in the night. So yeah, thank you very much for listening. And we will chat to you next week. And until then, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.